I want to thank you all for your kindness. This has really been a good meeting. We've been so thankful to be here. Your pastor's been so kind to us and the family here and the church. We appreciate Sister Cummings brought in a meal the other day to feed an army, and felt like inviting the neighbors in, I guess. But the meal was outstanding. It's beautiful. And then this morning, Brother Joe and Brother Robbie and Brother Michael, I thought maybe they were setting me up for a trick this morning because they were gathering, but they took us out to breakfast. Brother Brandon was there as well. We appreciate you guys. You all have been so good to us. Can I ask you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to also thank you for your prayers. My wife, the last couple weeks, has really gone through the fire, physically speaking, but God's been good to her, and she's been in good hands there, and would have loved to be here. Our children would have as well, but she's been really suffering physically. So we appreciate the continued prayers. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we're going to read 6 verses tonight. I'd like to have you read with us here, follow along. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning verse number 1. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, but think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Tonight I'd like to draw our attention to that 5th verse. Casting down imaginations, amen, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'd like to ask you some questions here tonight. Has anyone dodged a gun bullet this week? Anyone? Has anyone dodged a hand grenade? How about an armored vehicle, tank? Has anyone dodged one? Has anyone had a cannon pointed at him or her? Amen, had to jump out of the way. Now let me ask you this. Has anyone had to battle an unwholesome thought this week? How about discouragement? How about jealousy? How about hatred, anger, unforgiveness? Have you battled pride, bitterness, resentment, discontentment? Has anyone felt unlovely this week, unloved, unbeautiful? Amen. I'm going to tell you that God made you, and what He made is beautiful. Every one of you are beautiful. Amen. Where did all these things affect you? In the mind. Amen. Our minds are constantly bombarded with imaginations and thoughts, some good, some bad. Amen. And all of them seek admittance into our minds, and they would lodge there if we would allow them to stay. Martin Luther, the great 16th century reformer, once said, "You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can sure keep them from building a nest in your hair." Amen. Thoughts come to us all, but thank God all thoughts don't have to stay there. They can be dismissed. On Wednesday night, we spoke on peer pressure. Last night, we spoke, amen, on honesty. Tonight, we want to speak on the battle in our mind. Amen, the battle in our mind, in our scripture reading. Verse 3 of our scripture reading speaks about this warfare. Amen, it's not a fleshly one. Amen, it's a spiritual one. Verse 4 speaks about our weapons that we use in this warfare. For the weapons of our warfare, the Apostle Paul said, are not carnal or fleshly. Amen. In verse 5, our text speaks specifically about what this battle involved. He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This battle we're in tonight, it's not a carnal one. It's not one with fists and armored vehicles. It's a battle in the mind with thoughts. Amen. We want to talk about it a while to us all tonight for us to consider. Here's some thoughts here. Amen. Some of you may remember a couple summers ago, I put a series together on the mind. Well, I just felt impressed to speak along this line tonight because it's a trouble that we all face. Amen. And young people, the devil's actually battling for your mind. The devil wants your mind. He wants to control your mind. He wants to control your thoughts because he realizes if he can get control of our mind, he can get control of our members. Amen. And if he gets into our members, he has us. So the battle is for your mind. The battle is in our mind. Amen. We're preaching on the battle in our mind. The Amplified Bible says we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Another version says we capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. The Greek says leading captive every mind to the obedience of the Anointed One. Amen. Now tonight we want to talk about this battle. And by the help of the Lord, I want to answer the question tonight. Is it possible to be victorious in this most pressing and dangerous battle we face? Is it possible? Amen. Then we want to look at some tactics here that the enemy uses to try to gain control of the battlefield, which is our mind. Amen. First of all, we want to identify tonight, what is the battlefield? Our hymnals, our Church of God hymnals, are replete, full, amen, of battle songs of victory. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Very few songs in the hymnals are in minor. It's all in major keys. It's happy keys. They're songs of victory. Amen. Songs like, amen, being overcomer, fiery darts. I've enlisted in the service till I die. On to the victory, on to the goal, keep pressing. Onward, upward is the battle cry, press on. Amen. Stand up for Jesus, the church triumphant. These are all battle songs. Victorious. Amen. Triumphant. Beautiful. What a heritage we have tonight. I like that song, Being Overcomer. And it speaks about the battlefield. Being overcomer. Only cowards yield when the foe they meet on the battlefield. Amen. Tonight, saints of God, we don't have to ever yield a step. Amen. In this fight we're in tonight. Our text says, casting down imaginations. Saints, we are serving a God who's never lost a battle tonight. Do you know that? God's never lost a battle. Back there in Exodus, the 14th chapter, verse 13, Moses comforted the children of Israel in their journey with these words. Moses wrote, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." And he went on to say, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. Tonight, we want to identify, where is this battle taking place? Our text says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. The Greek says, leading captive every mind. Saints of God, tonight, the battle is in our mind. Amen. And I say again, the devil is doing his very best. And we'll identify some ways and some tricks the devil uses to gain control of our minds. Amen. There's a lot of allurement out here for young people today. A lot of gadgets, a lot of frills and pictures and images, amen, that would destroy your mind. God wants your minds tonight. He wants to have control. Amen. We find here in our text that the battlefield is our mind, the place where thoughts are formed, dwelt on, turned into actions. Amen. That's all in the mind. Now, the human brain produces approximately 70,000 thoughts per day. There are 86,400 seconds in a 24-hour day, which means we have a different thought about every 1.2 seconds. We are called upon daily to fight against thoughts that would destroy our countenance, amen, or our behavior. They would steal our joy. They would rob us of our peace. They would sever our connection with God and at last kill or destroy our testimony. Amen. Every day, 1.5 seconds, we have thoughts, all kinds of thoughts. You ever been driving down the road? Well, those that have their license. You ever been riding your tricycles down the road? Amen. And you start to feel a little depressed, and you just start feeling a little gloomy, and you thought, why do I feel this way? Everything's going real well. And then you start to recall, well, what am I thinking on? Oh, yeah, that's not a very good thought. And then real quick, you dismiss that, and you start to think on the goodness of God. And pretty soon your spirits are lifted. Amen. You feel so much better. That's why, amen, the Bible says to think on those things that are lovely, pure, wholesome, amen, or of good report. Because it affects us. Amen. It affects our countenance. Amen. Someone said this, you are supreme in the realm of thought. You can think whatever you please. But this is the hitch. You must live with the personality your thinking produces. Amen. Now let's look at this battle a bit tonight. The battlefield that the devil's seeking to have control over tonight is your mind. If you would gain an understanding of the truth and live a victorious life, amen, if we're going to live victoriously, we're going to have to win the battle in the mind. Amen. Let me bring to you a poem I wrote called The Mind, and this pretty well sums up the mind in this battlefield. The mind is a fertile bed that produces what it's fed. Every good and evil seed will, when sown, become a deed. A wealth of knowledge is stored there that in time you will wear. So with wisdom and great care, keep your eyes from idle stares. Big and little thoughts alike must be captivated and held tight. Each one weighed by the light, then dismissed if not right. Thoughts come throughout the day, bombarding the mind in every way. So keep the door of your heart and never let an unwholesome thought start. Just as you wouldn't act haphazardly, goof around, be silly out on the battlefield, amen, so it is in our mind. We can't be silly in the mind. Amen. When it comes to unwholesome thoughts, play around with temptation. Amen. Think anything we want to think and not expect to get burned. Amen. Get wounded, get hurt, lose out with God. This battlefield I'm talking about tonight is real. Oh, yes, it's the mind. Amen. I've dealt with a lot of people over the years. Amen. Young people, a lot of young people. And I go in, I've gone into their homes and said, what's the deal? Where have you been? Why have you been in a church? And found them engrossed in games and all kinds of shooting warfare, gunning up, smoking up, whatever it is. Amen. Just taking in with all these things. No use for the things of God. No desire. No appetite. Amen. Filled up in their minds with all this garbage. Amen. These things affect our mind. Oh, yes. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently. The Greek says carefully. Looking carefully. Lest any man fail or fall back of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, disturb you, and thereby many be defiled, or the Greek says poisoned. Now listen, these things will work on you. These things will spring up. Amen. You don't get treated quite the way you think you should have been treated. You don't get the opportunity you think you should have had. Up springs bitterness. And if you water that with a bad attitude, amen, try to justify your bad attitude and water it some more. Bitterness will grow, but it doesn't stop there. It's a poison, as the writer said here, and it begins to spread. Amen. And thereby many be defiled. I found in music, amen, every parent thinks their child is the best musician. And they come in and they want to talk about their son or daughter. And they talk about how wonderful they are. And of course, you know, I'm a parent and we think, you know, our kids are awesome. And that's true. But they have to trust us that we have the degree, we're the educator. We're going to pick the right man or woman or girl, boy, girl for the job. And what the parent doesn't see is when we hold auditions, while their child, son or daughter may be the best one, there were 10 in front of them that were better. So what are you going to do? So as the director, the instructor, we got to explain to the parents, well, they're improving, they're doing well, but listen, you're seeing one side, one person, but I'm on the other side seeing 10 others that really deserve it and are quite frankly working a lot harder than your son or daughter is. Amen, and I want to bring this into the congregation for a minute. The pastor's on the wall. He sees everything. He's in a different point of view than you are. Amen. I know these things. I was in a pastor's home for 27 years. Still work very closely. And I see these things. People can sit back and they look from their one perspective. He should have done this. He should have done that. Why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he do that? You got to remember, the pastor is watching out for the whole flock. He sees everything. Amen. And while that may benefit you, it may destroy a whole lot of others. Amen. So there's a trust factor. And I like to bring this in here. We should trust the man of God. Trust your pastor. He loves you. He cares about you. Where do these things affect you, though? Where does bitterness affect you? It's in the mind. Amen. So Paul lets us know in our text that we're to captivate every thought. I like that word. Amen. It's an action word. You've got to grab that thought, bring it into subjection, and force it. Make it obey Christ. Amen. This battle in the mind is not an easy battle. There are times through our day when we'll have temptation here, and it'll be strong. But work at it. Work at it to dismiss that thought. Amen. And when you do that, you'll be so glad because you'll win a victory. Amen. You'll win a victory. And no great victory is ever won without a great battle. Amen. So you'll have a victory there. Ever since God first spoke to Adam, back in Genesis, amen, and then later to Eve through Adam, he let us put there in the garden a law for the mind. You know, he put the tree there and said they weren't to partake of it. Amen. And ever since then, man's been making decisions in the mind. Right versus wrong. Every human being at some point in their life makes the decision, and the result becomes their philosophy and way of thinking. Our text says, casting down every imagination. Amen. We find in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the first time the word imagination appears or mentioned in the Word of God. Genesis 6. Amen. And verse number 5, just a few verses there. Genesis 6 and 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, look how this all works together, mind, soul, body, amen, it all works in harmony together, amen, those things we really love get into our minds, into our affections, into our heart, and soon into our living. Jesus said, or the Word of God says, every imagination of thoughts evil, his heart was evil continually. And he repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. What a sad picture. But what brought about God's grief, if you will, and his desire to destroy the antediluvian age? Amen. It was the thoughts and imaginations of their hearts. Amen. Were evil continually. Amen. Until recent times, studies actually showed that parents were the most influential force in the life of their children. Parents were the most influential in the lives of their children and their values and their beliefs and their attitudes, their ideas, their thinking. However, today many would say that's no longer the case. The wise men said, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Today, it's actually believed that technology, social media, and the forces around us have more influence on our children than parents do. Amen. And I would have to agree with that an awful lot. Amen. Although I still think parents are the most influential in the lives of their children. Amen. Close second are these forces and pressures, as we've already dealt with, around us. The big enemy we face tonight, saints of God, is technology. Listen to me here. Billions are spent in the electronic industry every year to create incredibly beautiful sounds, colors, visual imagery to attract the eyes, the ears, the minds of often the young people. Millions of parents have already lost their children's minds due to rock stars, atheistic, humanistic educators, sensual entertainers, star athletes, and a host of other anti-God, immoral, and outright evil influences. Modern technology has found ingenious ways to assault the minds of our precious children and young people. Amen, as well as the adults. The total time spent on social media in the U.S. across personal computers and mobile devices, amen, is somewhere around 121 billion minutes in July of 2012. These electronics devices, inventions, evil schemes allow people to enter a sin-filled world without ever taking a step outside of their homes. Now, that's a different warfare than 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Parents would never think. Now, listen to me, parents. Amen. I'm talking to everyone tonight. Parents would never think of leaving their children locked in a bedroom, unsupervised, with a murderer, sodomite, pornography, and a host of other evils, yet they give their child or teenager a smartphone and seldom, if ever, check in to see what's going on. Come on now. You know it's true. With a click of a button. Amen. These little children are geniuses on smartphones. I got a 3- to 4-year-old, and they teach me things when they get a hold of daddy's phone. Amen. They're like those little gamies and whatever things. But we have to watch. We've got to monitor. Amen. Constantly. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm only going to say if your child has a smartphone, check on it all the time. Amen. If they're ever trying to hide something, that's the time that you get rid of the cell phone. Amen. And I'm going to say this too. Husband and wife, you keep each other in check as well. This business of the mind goes way beyond young people. There's many adults that have played and dabbled in things they had not to be in. Amen. Husband and wife. My wife has access to my emails. That's the only technology I have. I don't have any social media. I guess I have a website at school. But I have email. You know, the email's pretty old, but it's my way of communication. So I have email, but my wife has access. There's not a thing that I have to hide. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden? And the Bible says they were naked in each other's presence. Study that out. Study it out. It's a whole lot more than physical nakedness there. It meant they didn't keep anything from each other. Amen. That's how to keep a solid marriage. You don't hide things. You don't hide things in the home. Not in husband and wife. Everything's open between each other. Constant flow of communication. Amen. That keeps you accountable. My wife told me recently of a statistic that just made my head spin. I can't remember the exact number. But there's actually, she had read about this, there's actually a website where married spouses can go on. People are looking for promiscuous relationships that are married, for other married folk looking for adultery, essentially. That's evil. That's evil. That's sickening. Amen. But parents, these things are out there, and they'll work on you. You must be careful. Amen. These things will attack and assault your mind through technology. Now listen a little bit here. Jesus spoke of this day. He said in Luke, the 21st chapter, he said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged." We're in an overcharged age. You ever been to a stoplight? And you see someone, you know, a worldly person, painting themselves up, got a cigarette in one hand and a Coke in the other, and they're painting themselves up, and they're juggling something between their knees, and they're looking at their phone, and they're doing this, and they're talking to someone next to them. Overcharged! Amen! You know what? I believe today that the art of meditation's almost been completely lost by most people anyways, because of all of these outside pressures, Amen. I don't know what the statistic is, but it's crazy. Several hundred times a day, the average person checks their phone. It's just constant all around us. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you want to be spiritual, you're going to have to spend time with God. And you're going to have to block out, as Jesus said, shut the door of your closet. Amen. If it means go into a closet, go into a closet. But Jesus was just saying there, shut the door off to the outside world and meditate. Amen. The righteous man in Psalms, the first chapter, lets us know the only way to get anywhere with God is to meditate on God's word. Amen. You'll never, listen, you brethren that preach, you'll never get a message from God unless you meditate on God's word. You may preach, but it won't be a message from God. Amen. Messages from God come through meditating on God's word. Not surfing the internet, not talking to brethren. Amen. Messages come from your knee and meditation on God's word. Amen. Meditation still means to stop, to think, to ponder. Not just on anything. Meditate on God's word. Amen. And then you can think other, you know, you can listen to good songs and get some good CDs over here. That's good food for the soul. Amen. But meditation. Jesus spoke about an overcharged age, and we're living in that tonight. Oh, yes. Let's go back to our scripture reading. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let's look at it tonight. What are some of these strongholds that would captivate your mind? What are some of these things that are holding people in bondage tonight? What are some of these things that are destroying the minds of young people? Listen to me tonight. Amen. The movies, whether it be in your home or the theater. Amen. Let's talk about it for a few minutes here. And please, when I mention these things, I don't have anyone in mind. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I only want you to consider some things with me here tonight. Amen. Let's talk about the movies for a minute. These so-called films, some of these so-called children films, amen, are filled from what I've heard of, with sexual innuendos, hidden immoral images, amen, sayings in those children films with double meanings, puns, for instance, to draw and attract, capture, and ruins the minds of parents. Now listen, the big thing with these picture things is they're time wasters. Think with me for a moment. It's nothing to sit down and watch a movie for 2 or 3 hours. People do it. The world does this. But to get people to sit and look at the Bible for 10 minutes is as if you've asked them to drink poison. Come on. Or a service, a message for an hour. Amen. The average movie, I'm just guessing, is probably 1.5 or 2 hours. And people are like, that's great. I've even heard of people doing a marathon of movies all day long. Come on now. These things are working on people. Amen. Young people, the sayings you hear in the movies, the swear words will become a part of your lingo and a part of your talk. Amen. And you'll say, "Why? Where did I get this?" Amen. It's from the things you're watching. Oh, the Bible says, for as he thinketh, Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, amen, or his mind, or the Hebrew says his soul, so is he. Your thought processes, saints of God, are largely influenced by what you see and what you hear. Jesus said this, the light of the body is the eye. Amen. We need to be careful what we look at, what we see, and what we listen to. There's much said today about, amen, pollution. Amen. Global warming, which is a big farce. Amen. It's not even true. Go back to Genesis 8:22 and you'll find out we're going to have seasons until Jesus comes. Amen. That's just a bunch of hogwash. But anyways, that's not the pollution that we're concerned about. The greatest pollution in our land tonight is mind pollution. Amen. Garbage ruining the minds. We often heard it said, where are the Einsteins of our day? Where are the, amen, great hymn writers? B.E. Warren, amen, D.S. Warner, all these hymn writers. Where are they? C.W. Naylor. I believe we have some. Maybe we have less. But much of it is because people are not giving their minds to the things of God. They're not meditating on God's word. Saints, if we don't take heed to God's word tonight, his warnings, we're going to lose this battle in our mind. Amen. We're going to lose the battle with the minds of our children. Now let's just look hurriedly at some specific enemies we face today. We talked about movies, television. Amen. And again, I don't try to make anyone feel bad, and I'm going to get to a point here because I don't even think television's the big issue right now. Amen. I think there's other things that are even more damaging. But just listen to me for a minute here. The Church of God's always stood against television. Amen. Amen. Because of the promiscuous sex and the language, and again, it's a time waster. Amen. People sit down in front of a television for hours. But listen to me here. Listen to me here. There was one time a man who ordered, this is many years ago, he ordered a television. He was a Christian, but when it showed up in the truck that the TV brought the television in, the truck said this, and I quote, "Bringing the world into your home." The man quickly told the delivery man, "Take it back. I don't want it." Amen. But listen now, I'm not going to stop there because I don't even think that's the big issue, although it's still an issue. The devil has failed in many ways with TV, but today we have something far more damaging. It's called the World Wide Web. Now just stay with me here a little bit. I've studied along this line for probably hundreds of hours. Most of us have the WWW, World Wide Web. We have it in our homes. We have it in our pockets. We have it everywhere we go. It's a tool. And as TV is, or the actual box, it's not so much the instrument, it's what comes across the instrument. And it's the way with the World Wide Web. It's a very powerful tool. It's hard to get along this day, probably impossible, without the internet at some point of your day. Maybe you can do it, but nearly impossible. So the devil's found out, okay? He's smart. He's an enemy. He's studied these things. And the devil's found out, I'm going to use a tool that everyone must have. And now I'm going to really get them. And so we have millions, actually billions, of different web pages. There are, as of March of 2009, there are at least 25.21 billion pages on the internet, on the World Wide Web. People can connect to the World Wide Web on their mobile devices from everywhere on the earth. Even ships at sea, in the outer space, they can access the WWW. We have computers, the internet, smartphones. These devices are doing far more damage than television's ever done. Countless evils can be watched, read, duplicated, sent out in mere seconds on smartphones. Amen, from just about anywhere in the world. While in years past you could destroy a letter, burn it up, throw it away, forget about a phone conversation, things get put on the web that can never be destroyed. They're somewhere. Once you put it out there, it's out there forever. And that makes it dangerous. Amen. The devil certainly has done a work. The telephone. You take, for instance, the telephone. It served a very necessary purpose in our daily lives. We conduct business on it. We make phone calls. We make phone calls and encourage a brother or sister. Amen. It's been used as a tool of gossip, hasn't it? Amen. Amen. To speak reproachfully on. But in general, it's been a very useful tool. Then came the advent of the cellular phone, enabling you to do all of these things while away from home. Plus, you had the advantage of feeling more secure and safe with a means of contacting emergency personnel if in an accident. All the while, the devil looking on and formulating a plan into our minds through these very necessary devices. Then we had the invention of the computer. Very expensive at first. Cost prohibitive. Amen. And a stationary device. Then time passed and men found a way to make it smaller, more mobile, and less expensive. Today, many homes, probably most homes, have laptops or iPads, iPad minis, handheld computer called smartphones. While all of these forms of communications are business tools and often very necessary, they're also tools through which the devil can do a work. Countless evils can be watched and read in mere seconds on these devices today. These images portrayed on these devices will grab a hold of your emotions, turn into thoughts, Amen. And if you're not sober and vigilant and of a sound mind, they'll capture you and lead you away. How about social medias tonight? Amen. These social medias are the means of interactions among people in which they create, share, exchange information and ideas in virtual communities and networks. Well, let me give you what the Bible says on this. Proverbs 25 and 2 says this: it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Now listen to me. There's not much concealing done on social medias. There's more revealing than concealing done. It's all out in the open. Amen. And again, I'm not trying to tell you these things are necessarily bad. They're useful tools. But we need God's help. They're very dangerous. Just as you wouldn't put your little child in a semi and say, go take yourself to Nebraska. That's ridiculous. They don't have the tools to do that. Amen. Neither should you give a little child a cell phone and say, go have at it. Do your own thing. They're tools that are very dangerous. Amen. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I teach high school. I deal with children all the time, hundreds of children. I know what I'm talking about. Many things are played around with, posted. Things that are said that had not to be said. Click of a button, it's out there forever. In the past, you had to sit down. I guess this was kind of before my time. I guess maybe young. You know, you'd sit down and write out a letter, and then you'd have to think about it, and then you'd have to fold it up and put it in an envelope, and then you got to stamp it, and, you know, it's all a process. And then by the time you get to that, you might think, well, you know what? That's really ridiculous, and you just throw the letter away. Now you just get on your phone and dot, 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 send, it's gone. And you might, oh, I wish I... Too late. It's done. Amen, the damage is done. We must be careful. There are some things that should never be discussed in public. What happens between you and your wife should stay between you and your wife. Listen to me now. It's easy as husband and wife to overlook things, to ask forgiveness, and you know, there's a lot of love working there. You may have a problem, you may stumble, and you get back, you know, you work it out as husband and wife. But many of those things, when they get out, they're in people's minds forever. Amen. And it'll affect you. Amen. I'm not talking about gross sins, but just husband and wife, you know, you have a little conflict now and then, you know. Little discussion, maybe it's a disagreement on where you should eat. Amen. And you just blast it over the website. I wanted Burger King and he wanted McDonald's. And you let her fly. Amen. Come on now. Those things had not to be out there. Amen. Stay with your husband and your wife. Amen. Same thing with our young people. Amen. Many things that are said are very hurtful. That old saying, "Where sticks and stones will break my bones and words may never hurt me," that's completely false. Words are some of the most hurtful things there are, and often more hurtful than physical instruments, if you will. Amen. We must be careful. That's why David said, "Lord, set a watch before my mouth." In other words, before I even form what I'm going to say, before it even spills out of my mouth, set a watch. Help me to know what to say and how to say it. Amen. So that it can do good and not damage. Amen. We must be careful. People get behind these devices. Amen. And they're more comfortable. You know, confronting someone, they're a little bit more timid and afraid and probably a little more careful what they say. But they can get in their own car and in their home and get behind their device and just let her spill out. Just all kinds of bitterness and hatred and ugliness. It's a tool. Amen. Very damaging. We must be careful. Amen. Married men and women have no business carrying on conversations with the opposite sex via these devices. Husbands and wives, you have no business texting, emailing, amen, people that aren't your own companion. Amen. When I talk to young people, I have my wife talk to the girls. Amen. We must be careful with these things. Amen. As saints, I realize the pastor is a little different position, but as saints of God, we must be careful with these communications. People start texting. Amen. And affections start rising up. Amen. Pretty soon you see they're meeting. Amen. secretly, God sees it all. And that's ugly and it'll destroy your marriage. Amen. Be very careful. Your dealings should be just like that of Joseph. They should be strictly business. When Joseph went in to see Potiphar, he went in to do business and he ran out of there. He didn't hang around. Amen. And neither should we. Amen. God holds us, amen, responsible for the way we conduct our business throughout the day. Just as you would never put a child behind the wheel of a tractor, amen, without first instructing them how to use that powerful piece of equipment, I don't believe children should just be left at these electronic devices on their own. Amen. Now, just hurriedly, I'm gonna spill out many more of these devices the devil uses. Email, text messaging, FaceTime. Amen. FaceTime, the ability to, from your own home, carry on a face-to-face conversation. Young people, be careful. Amen. These things can get very dangerous. MySpace, YourSpace, Skype, Facebook, Twitter. Amen. All these things. Instagram, Snapchat. Amen. Do you know Snapchat? Let me tell you something about Snapchat. I never used it, but I know I've read this. That Snapchat, you can take a picture, send it out there, and it'll stay there for 10 seconds, and then it's gone. Now, can you see the danger of this tool? Send out an ungodly picture, and it's gone in 10 seconds? Amen. Girls, boys, respect yourself, your bodies, and others as well. Amen. Take care of yourself. Save yourself. Amen for your companion. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners or your godly way of living. I like this translation. Be not deceived, evil discourse corrupts pleasant minds. It's the communication on and what's obtained through these devices that make them so dangerous. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, amen, speaking about the mind, he said, neither give place to the devil. People are giving him place in their minds through these devices. Amen, allowing these images to attract them and work in their minds and give place to the devil. And the devil's destroying him. Amen. Even in the school system, they recognize the dangers of many of these things. YouTube is blocked in many schools out where we are because of what they can get into on there. Amen. There's a game out there. I hesitate mentioning it because I don't want to make anyone feel bad necessarily. But just think about it here. Maybe you've heard of that game called World of, I won't even say the last word. But they're not allowed to play it at our school. They're not to be on that game. You're all looking at me like I'm crazy. You don't know the game? Never heard of it? World of Warcraft? Well, then I won't offend anyone tonight if I tell you about it, will I? World of Warcraft, 5.6 million subscribers to this game. Now, this is a game that you can play. Amen. Now, listen to this game. It's currently the world's most subscribed, massively multiplayer online role-playing game, holds the Guinness World Record for the most popular massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Having grossed over $10 billion as of July 2012, it's also the highest grossing video game of all time. In January of 2014, it was announced that more than 100 million accounts had been created over the game's lifetime. World of Warcraft, amen, is set in the same universe as the Warcraft series of a real-time strategy game. And it contains elements from fantasy, steampunk, science fiction, gryphons, dragons, elves, steam-powered zombies, werewolves, other horde monsters, as well as time travel, spaceships, alien worlds, and a host of other evils. Amen. People get these little headsets on, and they're in this surreal world where they shoot them up and act like little devils, if you will. Now, what's the danger here? I've done some reading over the years because I've been curious about these mass murderers. We had years ago when I was in high school a young man by the name of Kip Kinkle down in Springfield, Oregon. killed his parents, went to school, killed several others, just a young man, maybe about 15 years of old. This business doesn't just happen. You go reading, the brethren this morning were telling me about that young man down in Virginia, I guess it was, talking about some of the signs leading up to that gross evil. Amen. Children are allowed basically to raise themselves, if you will, on the internet with all kinds of evils, let their mind go all kinds of ways. Amen. It affects their living. They get in this surreal world. They go out and they think they're going to try it out. It works well. There's no consequences on these games, right? It's just all for fun and for fantasy. Get out in the real world and find out real quickly there's consequences for such actions. I had a friend, and I'm hurrying. You guys are listening so well. But I had a friend, or I have a friend, that I sang together in a choir in Portland with, much older than I am, but we were friends. I really wanted to see him saved. I worked next to him for a number of years. But there was always something about him that just kind of bothered me. And I talked religion with him, Christianity, and, you know, the need to be saved, and, you know, different things. I don't remember all we talked about. But I knew he had a rough upbringing. He was raised, I believe, Seventh-day Adventist, I think it was, went to a school. And he saw, I'm sure, the evils there. But anyways, and regardless of where he was at, it was an evil religion. Had a rough upbringing. But there was something about him that bothered me. And I one time saw some things that really troubled me. Well, there was one afternoon I got a phone call. And this man said, "Are you Reggie Stegmeyer?" I think is what he said. And I said, "Yes." He said, "Don't go to this man's house anymore and do his yard." Because I took care of his yard. I landscape on the side. I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well," he said, "you can go online and read about it, but he's, you know, in serious trouble." And it was just like I had been shot. 52 years old man, I knew well. I knew him for several years. He was successful, way up in the company at this hospital, worked at a hospital, had a brand new BMW, always had the nicest cars, had a decent house, and was doing well as far as the world was concerned. So I began to inquire about him. He was into pornography, played around with his mind, got into gross evils, met these individuals in hotels, was filming all this promiscuous activity. Evils! And the parent of one of these individuals he was with got into what was going on, brought it to the media's attention, the authorities, they brought him in. In fact, the federal marshals, I believe it was, showed up at the hospital where he worked and took him out handcuffed. Now, can you imagine at your job being handcuffed and let out to go into a police car? Imagine how humiliating that would be. But listen, young people, your sin will find you out. God sees everything. And God saw this. And it was just a matter of time. He stood before a grand jury, was sentenced to, I believe, 25 years in a federal prison, and there he sits now. I wrote him a letter. He sent me a nice letter back, said, "I thought you would have written me off after you found out all these things." I said, "No, because I care about his soul. Amen. And these things are damaging. They'll work on people. Amen. These things will work on your mind, and they'll get you if you'll just give in just a little. Just one look. Amen. Just one night. Well, I'm just going to try." You know how young people are. They're curious. "I'm just going to try this one time." And the next time they go another step. And the next time they go another step. And then it binds them. And I'm sure it was the way with him as he got into these things. Amen. And one thing, he was never married. And I think that's an evil right there. Amen. Very few men, very few women have that calling. Amen. God desires that you have a companion. I believe it saves you from a lot of these things. But anyways, he was never married, got into many, many evils, and it was just a matter of time. When he lost, I went to his home. His attorney had me come out there, and he did, and his attorney, after he'd been locked up, went to his home. They repossessed his BMW, completely cleaned out his entire home. Was given, sold, pawned off, whatever. Lost it all to sit in a prison for 25 years. Where was the battle lost? It was lost in his mind. It was lost in his mind. Oh, how careful we need to be tonight. Amen. Saints of God, the wise men said, keep thy heart, keep thy mind, keep thy affections with all diligence. For out of it, amen, out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your soul, out of your thoughts are the issues of life. Why is the devil seeking to gain control of our minds? He knows if he can get our minds, amen, it won't be long before he has our whole body. These images portrayed on these devices will grab a hold of your emotions. They'll turn into thoughts. And if you're not vigilant and faithful and attentive and sober and sound in mind, they'll take you out. Amen. Now the third thing we're going to finish up tonight with is how can we conquer this enemy? How can we conquer our minds? Can our minds be conquered? Amen. Can we have victory in our minds? I believe we can. Our text says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Amen. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The question we presented at the beginning of the message was this. Is it possible to be victorious in this most pressing and dangerous battle we face today? I say tonight, it is possible. It is possible. The murderer, amen, doesn't start off by killing a slew of people. And the drunkard doesn't start off by drinking, amen, a whole bottle of whiskey. But it starts with just one little beer, one little smoke. Amen. One little, you know, killing of a little cat or dog or whatever it may be. And then it grows from there. Amen. It begins first with thoughts, temptations of the mind, and then small crimes, softer alcoholic beverages, and then it goes from there. These so-called little thoughts will turn into big actions if petted, pampered, and nurtured over time. Oh, how we need to heed the words found in our text tonight, casting down imaginations. Young people, your parents love you, and they're trying to save you from these things. Amen. I can't think of anything more terrible than to have a position in the community, be well respected of, and it be found out you were living in adultery, you're in all kinds of gross evils. Amen. End up in a penitentiary. Amen. These things are humiliating and will ruin you. Oh, how we need to be careful tonight. Amen. Listen to me. This is the word of God. God has a plan of attack for every one of us tonight. He intends that we defeat the enemy of our soul and live a victorious life every day. Look at the words of the Apostle Paul, and I'll soon be through here. He said, cast down. Now, cast is a verb. It's an action. Amen. It means to throw forcibly down in a specific direction. Amen. Our thoughts must be cast down. Amen. It's the word of God that binds these thoughts. It's God's word. That's why we're to fill our mind. Amen. David said in the 19th division of Psalm, verse number 14, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. This is how we bring our thought captive, our thoughts captive. We feast on God's word. And be careful of those other things, the other worldly things, music and entertainment. Amen. They'll bring you down. Get a CD. You have an awesome ministry here. I don't know if you really fully appreciate what you have. You've got an awesome ministry of music, as well as everything else, but of music that you can listen to, and it'll feed your mind and your heart with good things. Take advantage of it. Amen. Take advantage of it tonight. Amen. In what direction should we cast our thoughts? Down. In other words, we should defeat our thoughts. We can defeat them. Amen. Discouraging thoughts, they can be defeated. Thoughts of discontentment can be defeated. Amen. Thoughts of bitterness, ill will, unforgiveness, they can be defeated. Why? I've defeated them through God's word and his grace. Amen. These things work on all of us. Amen. Thank God I don't harbor those things tonight. The Apostle Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, I brought before you tonight many of his devices. Now, again, these things, many are very useful. I'm not saying to put them all away. I'm only saying to be careful. Be careful. in using these things. Amen. We must remember that our battle is not against one another. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting the devil. And when we preach on these things and we teach and we call them out, and I just name them right out there, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad, but I'm trying to warn your soul that these things will hurt you. They'll damage you if you allow them to work. Amen. This casting begins at repentance and continues until we leave all temptations behind when we leave this world. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Young people tonight, ask God to reveal to you every avenue the devil's working in your life. Because the devil will hide things, shade things. Amen. Boys and girls that you run with at school, they'll try to, you know, pretend to be something they're not. And they'll operate, you know, let me just talk to the young girls real quickly here. Boys at school will tell you, you know, how beautiful you are, how, you know, oh, you're just as beautiful as they come, and you're wonderful. And boy, you'll just feel, you know, like 10 feet tall, and my, you'll feel good, and no one's ever treated me so sweetly, and you'll think they're the greatest thing ever. But remember, they can turn right around and break your heart as well. And that happens a lot. And vice versa. Amen. One minute they're praising you, the next minute they're saying how ugly, fat, and stupid you are. And it happens. Amen. Don't be deceived tonight. Amen. Don't be deceived. If something appears evil, it most likely is. You know what? If it's black and white, it's probably a skunk. So stay away from it. Come on now, don't be, I hesitate saying stupid because we tell our kids don't say stupid, but don't be ignorant. Amen. If it's black and white, stay away from it. It's probably a skunk. So it is with these evils out here. Don't try to play and tame and pamper and, you know, like the snake that they're always trying to tame. And then at that last moment strikes with the sting of death. Amen, which it's done many, many times. The wise men said, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Young people, we love you tonight. And we're trying to warn you about some things this week so you'll be wise in your latter end. So you'll have a good home someday. So you'll remain with God. So you won't have regrets. So you won't end up in prison and have many hurtfalls, have many things along the way. Amen. That would destroy you. We're trying to save you. So the wise men said, receive, hear counsel, receive instruction. God's desire tonight for every one of us is that we have a sound or wholesome mind. Amen. A sound mind. Paul said this, instead of thinking on unwholesome thoughts, think on that which is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. He said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I ask you in closing, I'm through. Do you have the mind of Christ tonight? In other words, do you have a wholesome, Christ-like mind? Are your thoughts pure and wholesome tonight? Are you engaging in wholesome activities, entertainment throughout the days? Your days, evenings, during the course of your weekends. If your activities are not wholesome and your thoughts are not pure, you will lose the battle in your mind. And one day, you'll find yourself shipwrecked. Saints of God tonight, we can't be too careful with our minds. We can't be too careful. You heard me preach about honesty last night, about even hesitating picking up the smallest of coins. Why? I want to protect my mind. And if I've got thoughts up here always accusing me, amen, of being, you know, dishonest and mischievous and whatever, it'll affect my conscience. And so I would just as soon stay away from even the smallest of things so I don't have those thoughts. We can avoid these thoughts. We can avoid all these evil thoughts, amen, certainly from remaining in our mind by casting them down and being careful about our living tonight. Amen. I'm through here. How is it with you tonight? How's your thought life? Amen. What do you spend your time thinking about during the course of the day? People around you will know, because we'll see it in your countenance. If someone looks down, probably they're a little discouraged. If someone looks down, probably they just got some really bad news. If someone looks down, maybe they had a bad hamburger at McDonald's. But usually it's something to do in their thought. Amen. It'll show in your appearance, in your, amen, conscience, in your body, in your eyes. I ask you tonight, think seriously here. What's your thought life like? What do you spend your days? Amen, young people, if you're wrapped up into some of these things, these gaming games, amen, I'm glad that I don't have the gaming bug, quite frankly, because it takes so much of your time. Amen, I'm not against those things. If you want to play a game, whatever, that's your business. But a lot of these games are not good, and they're time wasters. Amen. Please be careful. Guard your mind. Guard your affections. Amen. Cast down imaginations. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If you have a need tonight, won't you come? Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, we appreciate the beautiful audience tonight and their respectfulness and their attentive listening.